Welcome to the Storefront Church radio program. This is your brother in Christ Jesus, Freddie Wilbanks, thanking you for walking through our door, finding us on your radio dial, or this radio station's internet connection, or the web page, thestorefrontchurch.com. Today's program is 1932, 1932, the year that they come out with a 32 Ford. What a wonderful car. But getting back to what's really important, the initial air date for this program is Sunday, August 11th, 2019. Later in this program, 1932, for August 11th, 2019, we'll share a message entitled, Do Not Commit Adultery, a command of Jesus Christ. Do not commit adultery, a commandment of Jesus Christ. Thank you for praying for and supporting this ministry. There's room for everyone at the Storefront Church. Now that you're here, we want you to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior and worship Him with us. Sponsoring this program is Pilgrim Evangelistic Ministries, proclaiming the life-changing good news about the sinless life, the death on the cross, and the resurrection from the grave of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, through whom by faith we have eternal life. This broadcast is made possible by the financial support of listeners, and Henry Ford isn't one of them, but we would love someone like him with his means to become a supporter of the Storefront Church. If you'd like to sponsor this program, you can donate at our webpage, thestorefrontchurch.com, or call area code 989-871-9668. Help us to reach the world with the Word of God and the Gospel of Jesus Christ by visiting our webpage, thestorefrontchurch.com, or calling area code 989-871-9668 with your pledge of support. Once again, thestorefrontchurch.com or area code 989-871-9668 with your pledge of support. Homes by Stoddard's and Stoddard's Classic Cars in Chesting, Michigan sponsors this program. We want to thank today's members of the Evangel Band. Getting ready to join us momentarily vocally is Brother Walter Kinsey, playing that big old grand piano. Sister Narita Henley, strumming on that flat top guitar is Brother Clark Harding. Agree with us in prayer for a Jesus Christ Holy Ghost revival in this time of reprieve in this nation and around the world. Pray for our fellow citizens, government officials, judges, bureaucrats, the president, and the invaders. Agree with us in prayer for missionaries, veterans, and fellow Christians, many who have faced martyrdom and abuse because of God's word and profession of faith in Jesus Christ. But for now, put your Bible down on one of those homemade pews, pick up one of those dog-eared hymnals, stand or have a seat, and let's worship the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Let's start out this hour with a good old Sunday school song. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Hide it under a bushel, no, I'm gonna let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. No! I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Won't let Satan blow it out. I'm gonna let it shine. Won't let Satan blow it out. I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Let it shine till Jesus comes. I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine till Jesus comes. I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let Let it shine wherever you're at. Pray in the public square or in a nursing home or wherever. Let the light of God shine through you. Hallelujah. Jesus on the main line, tell him what you want. Jesus on the main line, tell him what you want. Jesus on the main line, tell him what you want. Jesus on the main line now. Call him up, tell him what you want. Call him up, tell him what you want. Call him up, tell him what you want. Jesus on the main line now. If you need salvation, tell him what you want. If you need salvation, tell him what you want. If you need salvation, tell him what you want. Jesus on the main line now. Call him up, tell him what you want. Call him up, tell him what you want. Call him up, tell him what you want. Jesus on the main line now. If you need the Spirit, tell him what you want. If you need the Spirit, tell him what you want. If you need the Spirit, tell him what you want. Jesus on the main line now. Call him up, tell him what you want. Call him up, tell him what you want. Call him up, tell him what you want. Jesus on the main line now. Well, if you need a healing, tell him what you want. If you need a healing, tell him what you want. If you need a healing, tell him what you want. Jesus on the main line now. Yes, call him up, tell him what you want. Call him up, tell him what you want. Call him up, and tell him what you want. Jesus on the main line now. Turn with us in those old green hymnals to 431, hymn number 431. I have a song that Jesus gave me, was sent from heaven above. There never was a sweeter melody, 'tis a melody. Heaven's harmony in my heart, there rings a melody, there rings a melody of love. I love the Christ who died on Calvary, for he washed my sins away. He put within my heart a melody, and I know it's there to stay. In my heart there rings a melody with heaven's harmony. In my heart there rings a melody of love.
Living about us, never lost. Oh, the land of an unclouded sky. Oh, they tell me
far away, where the tree of life in eternal bloom sheds its fragrance through the unclouded day. Oh, the land of a cloudless day. Oh, the land of an unclouded sky. Oh, they tell me of a home where no storm clouds rise. Oh, they tell me of an unclouded day. Oh, they tell me of a king and his beauty there. And they tell me that mine eyes shall behold, where he sits on a throne that is whiter than snow, in that city that is made of gold. Oh, the land of a cloudless day. Oh, the land of an unclouded sky. Oh, they tell me of a home where no storm clouds rise. Oh, they tell me of an unclouded day. Tell me that he smiles on his chilling there, and his smile drives their sorrows away. And they tell me that no tears ever come again in that lovely land of unclouded day. Oh, the land of a cloudless day. Oh, the land of an unclouded sky. Oh, they tell me of a home where no storm clouds rise. Oh, they tell me of an unclouded day. Oh, the land of cloudless day. Oh, the land of an unclouded sky. Oh, they tell me of a home where no storm clouds rise. Oh, they tell me of an unclouded day.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
To this place and gathered in his name to worship him. We have come unto this place and gathered in his name to worship him. We have come unto this place and gathered in his name. Concentrate on him and worship him. So forget about yourself and concentrate on him and worship him. So forget about yourself and concentrate on him and worship Christ the Lord.
Praise the Lord. We thank you, Lord, that we're here today to worship and honor you in word and in song. And we want to lift you up in all things and glorify your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Sister Narita Henley, do you folks have a special for us today?
Yes, Walter's going to bring us a couple different courses that we know. Okay. Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me and thy loving kindness.
Oh, praise God.
Amen.
Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me. Wonderful passion and purity. Oh, thou spirit divine, all my nature refine, till the beauty of Jesus. Jesus be seen in me. Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me. All his wonderful passion and pure purity. Refine till the beauty of Jesus be seen in me. Thy loving kindness is better than life. Thy loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise thee, thus will I bless thee. I will lift up my hand unto thy name. I lift my hands, Lord, unto thy name. I lift my hands, Lord, unto thy name. Shall praise thee, thus will I bless thee. I will lift up my hand unto thy name. Amen.
Amen. Let us lift up our hands unto his name. Yes, hallelujah. Well, pick up your Bibles off those homemade pews and get ready to turn with me to the book of Matthew in the 5th chapter once again. This is message 1932, and I joked earlier about the 32 Ford and wouldn't mind Henry Ford's support in sponsoring this program. I guess what kind of made me think of that a little bit, not just the numerals there, but also, unfortunately, I just read an article on an auto dealer in Alabama that was selling new Ford vehicles. And they were trying to drum up business, and their theme was God, guns, and freedom, as I recall. And if you bought a new vehicle from them, they would give you a Bible, they would give you a shotgun, and they would give you an American flag. And some snowflake got irritated down there in Alabama and called Ford Motor Company and said, you got to put a stop to this. And so they put the pressure on the folks, and they've now stopped giving way with a new purchase of a vehicle, an American flag, and that's heart-wrenching in itself. And for some of us, not giving away the shotgun is even more gut-wrenching, and I say that somewhat tongue-in-cheek. But the real sad thing is that anytime you can give away the Word of God and someone can take it, that's really a wonderful thing. And it's a sad commentary on where our nation is today. It is really sad on how messed up our educational system is and our politicians are. And all this, it's a sad, these people are blinded by demonic powers and they don't have a clue that they are offended or they want to put pressure on somebody who would want to give away an American flag, hopefully to be displayed in an honorable way. It's a sad commentary of affairs when every home shouldn't be promoted to have a shotgun in there. And also, what a tragedy is when someone's offended because somebody's giving away a Bible. This ought to be a repudiation, and this ought to be a heart sickness, grieving and sickening. And people ought to cry out to God, Lord God, forgive us, grant unto us a revival and a spiritual awakening, and that these people who are willing vessels of demonic powers and satanic powers would be rebuked and cast out and pushed away and pushed back. Oh, Lord God, grant it in the name of Jesus, we pray. And I pray that many of you under the sound of my voice will make it a matter of prayer that God's word will be promoted and that the powers of darkness would be pushed back. The title of this message 1932, for Sunday, August 11th, 2019, Sunday, August 11th, 2019, is Do Not Commit Adultery, a command of Jesus Christ. Do not commit adultery. Pick up your Bibles, as I said, and turn with me to Matthew chapter 5, and we'll begin reading this hour at verse 27. Matthew 5, 27. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, Thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. Whoa, the words of Jesus. My goodness. I remember people talking years back about, well, Jesus never talked about hell. They don't know the word. They've never spent time in the Gospels. Here, this is repeated twice in the 29th verse of chapter 5 and in the 30th verse of chapter 5. It twice says, that your whole body should be cast into hell. It's better to go into life eternal, into everlasting life, halt and maim. You know, before the service, we pray. And we pray other than just that time. The Word tells us that we should be in prayer continuously. But we pray that God's Word and God's moving of His Holy Ghost and power would move across this land and people's eyes would be opened and that they would come to grips with that heaven is a real place, eternal life is something to not to be shunned or made fun of, and that hell is a real place. Hallelujah. And we pray God's word. And there are times when we pray that there would be those who would be awakened so that they might be spared, that their whole body should not be cast into hell. And people come to us, and we thank God for those who come and want prayer, that want prayer for friends, that want prayer for loved ones. But it has been impressed on me in the last couple of decades and few years especially that we need to be praying for people's salvation first and foremost, because the Lord Jesus himself says here, it's better that, if you'll allow me this paraphrase, it's better that you enter into everlasting life halt and maimed, blind and crippled, and stricken with various diseases. It is better. Now, we don't want that. We don't want that in our flesh. We don't want that in our spirit. We don't want that. But Jesus says that if it's better that you enter into heaven, my words, halt and maim, disease stricken, lacking in everything else, that you enter into heaven in eternal life that way than to be cast into hell in perfect good health. We've got a lot of people who are in perfect good health who are walking into hell every day. There are thousands of people every day who are in good health and they're stepping off into eternal damnation. The wonderful thing is that if we get into God's word, we find that those who enter into eternal life, halt, maimed, blind, stricken with various diseases, crippled, whatever it is, Jesus, in God's word, says that they'll be made whole If you can handle that, you will be made whole. There will be no more sickness, no more disease, no more lack in God's eternal presence. Praise the name of the Lord. In His presence, there is nothing but perfection and wholeness. And that's what's going to happen to those who leave this earth poverty-stricken and everything else, every calamity they've experienced. If they have Jesus Christ, they will be made whole for eternity. Years ago, I used to handle grievances for a union, and a phrase that the educators that back in that day and time encouraged us to use when you were filing a grievance was, be made whole. Be made whole. Be made whole. Well, let me tell you, be made whole in Christ Jesus today. Be made whole in Christ Jesus today. Take upon eternal life. Take on everlasting life through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and what He's done for you on the cross. Jesus Christ suffered all these terrible things that you might have everlasting life and be made whole. Hallelujah. There is teaching in God's Word that we can be whole in this life. But Jesus said it's much better to be made whole in eternal life than enter into hell and damnation being made whole or walking in wholeness. In 5:27 we read, you've heard that it was said of them of old time. You know, at Jesus' time, 2,000 years ago, it was not a new saying then, and it's not a new saying now that in times past, in the good old days, in the days of yesteryears, in old times, and people like to make fun of the traditions, and more important than that, the teaching of God's Word that were lifted up in days past. They think it's archaic. They think that it's terrible. They think that it's behind the times, that we're in a new time and that we're in a new age. Well, I'm praying for a new time. I'm praying for a time in this life, in this walk, when many will be receptive to the moving of the Holy Ghost and accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior and be a part of a last day awakening and a revival, not just a political awakening. There's people who in the last decade have promoted a political awakening, an awakening in this country that people would turn away from the steady drumbeat and steady march of progressivism, socialism, Marxism, communism. There's been people who've been praying and working that this steady moral decline in our culture and in our country and the eroding of freedom and liberty be stopped. But I'm praying that there'd be a great revival and that the people would realize that all this is related to and refers back to returning our backs on God and embracing the compromises that Satan has put forth that are so easy. It is so easy to compromise. Jesus, in His Word, He tells us that what does light have with darkness? There is no common ground with light nor darkness. There's either light or there's darkness. And people need to wake up, and our politicians need to get a hold of God's Word and allow it to stir them to righteousness and right lawmaking and to clean up and do away with those things that would hinder and bind and take away the freedom of the church, the true church of Christ, those who believe in Jesus Christ, from professing and propagating the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, if someone rejects it, that's their call. And as I've said many times, I don't advocate. Don't want to see harm come to these people. We're praying for their salvation. We don't want to blow them up. We don't want to destroy them. But we don't want to be attacked either, just because we believe in the true gospel of Jesus Christ and that Christ is the only name under heaven whereby men and women, boys and girls, can be saved. Hallelujah. Jesus said, you've heard in old times, said, thou shalt not commit adultery. How old the times was it? Well, Jesus is saying this is 2,000 years ago. And more than 2,000 years before that, the word come to Moses, and it was recorded in Exodus chapter 20, verse 14, thou shalt not commit adultery. You know, there was a time, I'm laughing because it's so pathetic and sad, there was a time when this was one of those Ten Commandments that hung on the schoolhouse wall. There was a time when this was one of the Ten Commandments that hung on the courthouse wall. The Lord God in His Word encourages us to put these before us that we might live righteous lives and be reminded. You know, and I might touch on it again in a few moments, but I'm going to do so right now. This is what we as men struggle with. And that's the reason why we as men need to pray for one another and lift one another up. We struggle with what Jesus says here, but I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. And this is a problem for almost every man. Every man that hasn't turned over to complete perversion, complete wickedness, almost every man struggles with this at some time. Now, maybe there's somebody out there, but if truth be known, in a man's life, if a man lives 70 or 120 years, sometime in his lifetime, he is going to struggle with this looking after a woman and lusting after a woman. You know, I'm reminded of a fellow that I used to work with. I really liked the man. He was a help to me years ago. And we worked in and out of the same building. And in this same building, there was a glass partition and a counter. And behind this counter and this glass partition, there worked some secretaries. Some of them were average-looking women, and there was this one woman in particular who was a beautiful woman. And, you know, I understood completely why those who designed the building, and this building had been remodeled, why they built this counter and why they put this glass partition there. It was to protect the women who were behind it. Because this fellow who I liked, who had helped me and everything, there was a period of time where almost every day he went to that counter and he stared through that glass partition at this woman. I mean, he just stared at her. And there was no doubt that he was lusting after her, and thank God for that partition to help separate them. He, even though he was my friend and he'd helped me and everything, he was a nuisance and he did not try for a moment to hide his lust. Now, maybe you as a man have never been to that place and experienced that, but we need to pray for one another that we not be that way, because that is not good for that woman, it's not good for her family, her life, and it's definitely not good for our spiritual well-being. It is a sin. Jesus said, do not commit adultery. Do not even look at that woman lustfully like that. You need to be redeemed. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 5, we read, for this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, and my friend coveted that woman to a point of excess, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Do you hear this? Do you hear this? That none of these people who have done these things, whoremonger, unclean, covetous, idolater, any of these people who have participated in adultery, fornication, idol worship, those effeminate, and those who are abusers of themselves of mankind, as recorded in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 and 10, and then also here in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 5, they have not any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words. And we're full of a nation full of people who have vain words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. There are people all around us saying, this is a compromise. Compromise. Don't be so harsh on that friend of yours. Don't pray for him, for his deliverance. Don't witness to him. Don't share with him the word of God. Compromise. There's too many people around us saying compromise on things that shouldn't be compromised. And on things that can be compromised, well, they don't want any compromise in that area. Be not therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now ye are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. You have heard the gospel. Many of you have accepted the gospel of Jesus Christ and you have repented of your sins. Now, since you have done that, be the children of light that God wants you to be. Oh, hallelujah. Verse 29 and then verse 30 again. If thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. Praise the Lord for his word. Thank God for his word. In the past decades, I remember in-depth and sometimes passionate, heated, if you want to call them, argumentative discussions in Sunday school and in Bible classes about verses 29 and verses 30. Any of them of you who have gone to Sunday school in the last 6-7 decades especially, and some of you maybe as far as 5, some of you who are 40 who have gone to church, some of you, the church service isn't nothing. There's not Sunday school anymore. The teaching of Sunday school, there are no Sunday schools just like they used to be. So you've missed out, but there was a time when people used to sit down together and they'd read a portion of God's word, and then they'd comment on it or share, maybe say, I've had a problem with this, pray with me, pray for me, you know, or what have you. But some of you of a certain age, I forget, you haven't been to Sunday school. You've not been to church services. You've not experienced where these two verses were read and then the debate or the argument or the discussion ensued. There were those who would quickly say, but you don't think the Lord really means this. And every now and then you would hear of someone who wasn't mentally stable mutilating themselves. You don't think the Lord really meant this? Well, personally, yes, I believe that he meant this, that it is better to come into eternal life, halt and maim, if you will, than to go into hell completely whole. That is true. But I also know enough about God's word that God has provided a way for deliverance. He has provided for us the body of Christ and commanded us to pray for one another. And if you're struggling with something, you ought to go to the church. You ought to have a church body. You ought to have some believers that you can go to. And you ought to be able to say, I'm struggling with this, and I would need you to pray for me with this. And unfortunately, there are too few churches left where there are people who've been in God's word for decades, serving God for decades, who know right from wrong, who know God's word, and can lead you and pray with you that you might be delivered to overcome whatever it is you're facing and struggling with. Oh, hallelujah. Yes, there's been times when there are those who are mentally unstable who mutilate themselves. But I want you to look at today. I want you to look today and think about today. Today we have people who, outside the church, primarily some inside the church, who are cutting, piercing, and marking themselves. And the world and many in the church don't have a problem with it. You can go to, and a lot of people in different places like to comment on Walmart about all the different kind of people that you can see at Walmart. There's times when you can go to Walmart and you could think that if you were around 4, 5, 6 years ago, decades ago, that you were viewing a copy of National Geographic and you had just walked into some foreign isolated jungle someplace where people are cut, pierced, mutilated, marked up, and everything else. The demonic influence is so great that some are having, The demonic influence is so great that some are having their genitals cut off and are having some, or in some cases are having some of their flesh cut off and having genitals created and attached. You know, I spoke earlier in this program about the circus that was on TV the night before the recording of this. And there were those people who are running for president of this country who want these people who are cutting and mutilating and maiming themselves to have super special rights and force the American taxpayer and the American citizen to pay for these people to mutilate themselves and do things that were like men can have. What they really are trying to push, and if you really get beyond the fluff, where men can be carved up and have ovaries implanted into them. This is wicked. This is perverse. All this stuff is an abomination. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 14, we read, having eyes full of adultery and that cannot cleanse from sin, beguiled unstable souls, a heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children, that is who they are, which have forsaken the right way and have gone astray, following the way of Baal, son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the midst of darkness is reserved forever. Oh, hallelujah. There's so much more I'd love to share this hour, but it's not to be. The bottom line is, do not commit adultery. Because there are those, while they promise liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption, for of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. There are people who profess to be ministers of the gospel who are promoting this demonic wickedness. The Lord rebuke them, and may you repent and do not commit adultery.